Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast, the podcast that will help you embrace, grow, and be transformed by the transitions of life. Now here's your host, Debbie Ronka.
Welcome to the Transition Bridge Podcast. I'm Debbie Ronka, your host. And you know, we love to talk about transitions, and we understand transitions are all about change, closing one chapter of our lives so we can just step into and begin living into that next chapter that's ahead of us. Some of these transitions in life can be painful and very difficult to navigate. And sometimes closing a chapter is hard, but it's so necessary for our own mental and emotional health and safety. I have a very special guest that is here with us today to share her personal story about her difficult transition of coming out of an abusive relationship and her ultimate breakthrough that she experienced. Sarah Hammond is an incredible leader, business executive, wife, and mother. She is president of Atlas Electric and Air Conditioning, Refrigeration, and Plumbing Services. Sarah graduated from Stanford University School of Business with a certification in scaling business. For 17 years, she worked as a paralegal and holds a finance degree and real estate degree from A&M. Sarah maintains an active role in the community and serves on both national, Texas, and several local boards. Her passion is to help women grow their business, and she speaks on this topic at conferences and at the international level as a guest speaker. She has been published in the McAllen Chamber magazine, Woman to Woman, and also in the I Am Latino magazine. Sarah was also featured in the special edition of the Amazon's Watch magazine as one of the top 20 global women to watch. Although business and community involvement are important and a huge part of her mission for her own personal self-growth, what brings the most happiness to Sarah is her family. She is married to Coach Marty Hammond, and together they have three strong, beautiful daughters. Sarah, welcome to the Transition Podcast, and I'm just so honored to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for the introduction, and I'm excited to be with you today and sharing a story. Hopefully somebody else will be able to relate to it and thrive in their lives, because at the end of the day, that's what we want to do. We just want to be better people.
Oh, I agree. You know, I'm looking at this transition quote that says, transitioning is a radical act of self-love. And without even knowing your entire story, you must have stepped into a place of self-love. So why don't you take us from the beginning and share your heart, Sarah?
Thank you. Well, to make it understandable, let me just share just what I went through. I was married for 7 years to somebody who was bipolar. And that was a lot of strength and weakness during those 7 years of trying to figure out whether or not to stay in a relationship with someone who was ill and did not want to get treatment for themselves. So I think that's where a big key stems from. We as women, we want to fix, we want to help, we tend to nurture. And sometimes as women, perhaps you're staying in a relationship where the person needs to help themselves and you need to be able to thrive and live a good and happy life with your children, you know, or no children, but you need to be able to live a life that has balance and meaning and not a life where you're just trying to fix someone else or help someone else who does not want to be helped. So during this time in this relationship, there was a lot of suffering, back and forth, some abuse, physical, but there was always mental abuse. And then when in the transition of trying to leave the relationship, there was a lot of threats of, I'm going to kill you if you leave me. You know, you won't live if you leave me and you go to somebody else, you know, I'll kill you. So that's a lot of trauma for somebody to be going through and trying to figure out whether they're going to stay in or stay out of a relationship. And at the end of the day, he did take me. I was kidnapped from my home.
Oh my.
I was beaten physically. You couldn't recognize me. And he took me and handcuffed me to the bottom of the back seat of a truck, to the bottom racks, my feet to the driver's side and my hands to the passengers so that I couldn't move, and covered me in a tarp, and then took me across into Mexico and had me over there for 2 days. It was a trying experience. It was a lot of prayer. Let me say that that was the only thing that got me through, was the fact that I kept praying for one thing, for, you know, Jehovah God to keep my mouth shut. I would just say, please shut my mouth, because if I say something and I speak, I'm going to say something wrong and it's just going to be volatile. Because I've always been outspoken, and even throughout the relationship, I was still very headstrong, but I was just in fear, I think, of really trying to leave and something like this happening to me. And so I was able to, through the prayer and through me calming myself down in being in constant prayer the whole 2 days that I was handcuffed and tied down, I was actually able to walk out. You know, he released me and let me walk across to Mexico to come back to the United States. And he was eventually captured, and he was charged with several things, but, you know, he was charged for the kidnapping of me as well, and served time in prison for that. But the thing about it, I think, that I stay with is, somebody asked me, did you go through therapy to come out of this? Like, how did you heal?
Yeah.
And honestly, I have to say that it is through the prayer that I was constantly in my mind when I was going through, you know, the hard time, and through seeing how other people suffer so many more greater things in life. During this time, this year that I was in transition, trying to filter out my emotions and how I was going to react and how I was going to be moving forward as a person, I knew I didn't want to be bitter. I knew I didn't want to be angry. And I knew that now I was completely free, and that I had an ability to make great out of my life. And I felt that that was my mission, that I needed to be able to make greatness out of my life and make better choices and figure out why I made the choice that I made in marrying him, what I made choices in finding a relationship, and really solidifying myself in who I felt I was and what I deserved in life. And so I started a mission in self-discovery, on myself, learning my triggers, learning how to better manage my emotional onset, how to be calm, how to not become reactive, how to have grace and give myself patience and love. There was an incident of a young female during my year that I was starting to say, where her husband had shot her in the head and left her in a barn. And her father came home and found the barn lights on, found her in the middle of the barn bleeding, picked her up and took her to the hospital, and she was saved.
Thank God.
Out of, you know, I don't know, like a full day of ICU, he was able to get her saved. And he was staying at the hospital this whole time. He was calling his house, trying to talk to the wife and the kids to see, you know, to let them know where they were at, but nobody was answering the phone. So when she came out of ICU, he drove home only to find his wife shot and killed, and the three sons, his three grandsons, which was the children to his daughter, shot and killed as well.
Oh my gosh.
And I heard that on the news, and I thought to myself, heaven saved you from major tragedy. what a blessing. What are you going to do with your life? And that gave me the strength to, one, appreciate the gift that I had been granted and appreciate the fact that we have to love the people around us because you never know what they've suffered. And a lot of times it's so much more than your victim mentality. And living life not as a victim, but full in grace and gratitude is the only way to live. And that, I think, was my therapy in itself.
That is so incredible, Sarah. You know, just listening to the story of how, first of all, I really do believe the prayer protected you and opened that door for you to walk back across the border. And that in all of that, you did not let someone else define who you were. Like, it sounds to me like you knew who you were, even though someone else was trying to not let you be who you were and was hurting you for that. But that flicker, that flame that you had inside of who you were is what you kept calling forth so you could actually move forward. That is so powerful. And I'm just speechless. I'm just listening. I want to ask you, how did you find the courage? I know that you prayed, and it sounds like you just had a perspective of what other people have gone through, and you chose not to, I don't want to say woe is me, but it sounds like you're saying, I didn't want to be a victim. I wanted to be a victor. And so you chose a different way to look at life.
Well, we make decisions, right? And I stayed in this relationship longer than I should have. I tried to get out a few times, but I kept telling myself, well, I made this choice. I should have known him better before I married him. I made the choice to get married. You know, marriage is supposed to be forever. It's not. Not for everybody. And, we live in this mentality sometimes when you're going through rough patches, where you want to punish yourself for mistakes. And, I continue to make mistakes, God forbid, I wish I wouldn't, but, you continue to make mistakes, but you're human. And that's the human compassion side that you have to give to every single person that's around you. If you want forgiveness, you need to be able to forgive. And so I knew that I had to forgive him in order for me to be okay with myself in the future and forgive him or anybody else who I felt was going to do me wrong or try to do me wrong so that I could live a happy, full life. There's just so much. I was really raised in a biblical family. I was taught the Bible, not just, going to church, but I was taught scripture and I was taught the grace of God. And so many times the people take the Bible and they become advocates of one way or another. And it's a very black and white teaching or discussion when they're imposing their belief onto others. But at the end of the day, the strongest verse in the Bible is talking about love, and it's talking about grace and undeserved love. We have undeserved love in Jesus' death for our sins, right? And yes. So it's not deserved. So nobody deserves anything in this world, but it is a gift that is given. And if you lead with love and you speak with love, you heal with love, you can get through anything in life. You know, there's so many people, some people that are like, oh, my parents were this and my parents were that. Oh, come on. They're your parents. Just give them love. Give them grace. I make mistakes as a parent. The only thing I can hope is that my children give me grace and don't use that as a way to say, I deserve something, because again, we don't deserve anything, but we're given a whole plethora of love that we have to take advantage of and share that love.
Love is the most powerful force. Like you said, that's what kept Jesus on the cross, and it was his love for us that enables us to step into that life that he called us to, that life of abundance, that life of freedom, unconditional love. Love covers a multitude of sin. I just love how you shared that. And it's hard. Some people don't choose love. They choose bitterness. They choose strife. They do choose unforgiveness. And we just don't even understand how that impacts our physical bodies, our emotions, as long as we leave that within us. And I really honor you and bless you that you found the strength and the understanding of forgiveness, and that you understood the power and the release of it, how it literally does release you from the bondage of the pain. And lots of times when I speak to my different clients, I said, you know, forgiveness is what's going to free you. And maybe you don't feel like you want to forgive at the time, but if you just start saying it, prime the pump. Was that like that for you, Sarah? Or were you just, how did you process forgiveness?
Well, at first I was sad. You know, the funny thing is, because he is the father of my, he is the biological person for my oldest daughter. My daughter is currently adopted by my new husband. So, you know, she shares in our last name, and she shares the fatherhood of him. But I had a child with this man. And so when he got captured and was in jail, he called me and asked me to take my daughter to go see him. And I sat there and I thought, the audacity of this guy to still call me after what he did to me. And then I thought to myself, but it's bigger. This is bigger than me. This is about your child and what, you know, that he's saying he wants to see this child. So I took my daughter to go see him in jail. And it turned out that he just wanted to continue to threaten me. And he thought he was going to get a hand up by having me present. Well, by then I had gotten so much strength from what I had been through that I basically told him I was done. And he didn't bother to continue to look for his child. So that's when we went ahead and got, I got a restraining order, and the adoption went into process and everything else. But it was at that moment when he called and he asked me to take her that I thought, okay, I can't go through life being angry, and because I'm going to continue to be scared, because I had fear for about 2 years. I still lived in fear. I would still shake sometimes when I would come home, and I was by myself and I would have to walk into the house. I would start to shake literally in my car for like 20, 30 minutes before I would actually have to get down. And I would pray, just calm down, you're fine. But nobody, I knew nobody was in the house, and I was afraid to walk into the house by myself. So I had to overcome that fear. And I would sit in the car and I would tell myself, you know what? You're afraid and you're shaking. And until you can walk out the car, you're not going to get down. And you're going to stay here until you can calm yourself down and mentally understand your situation and where you're at and where you've been. And so I would talk to myself for 20, 30 minutes in the car, and then I would come down. And I would walk inside the house, and then I'd be like, okay, I can do this, until it was less than 20, 30 minutes. And it was 15, and then it was only 5 minutes. And then pretty soon I would just walk out of the car like nothing, because I had already coached myself to deal with the emotion of fear. And then I kept telling myself, you have to forgive so you don't live in fear. You have to forgive so you don't live in fear. And that's how I mentally talk to myself, I guess.
So that to me is like, I'm just like envisioning you sitting in your car, and you literally would just take one step at a time, constantly with the process in your mind, I must move forward. I must deal with this. I must conquer this fear. I must forgive. It's like you gave yourself a recipe in a way, like in a formula of, this is what I have to do to get healed yourself. What would be your advice to other people? And you may have already given it, but You know, there's a lot of people that have come out of these situations. I know earlier you talked about you were looking back first at the gift that you were giving, and then looking back to when you got married. You know, maybe there were certain things that you saw or you didn't see, but you kind of looked back at that whole process and then kind of formulated something to bring yourself to strength. What would you share with anyone who's listening now that's in a situation where they're thinking, I think I need to leave. I'm not sure. I don't know what to do. I'm afraid. What would be their next step?
The first thing I want to say is you need to ask for help. I know it's embarrassing. It was embarrassing for me. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't share it with a lot of people, the abuse part. But I remember one time when he had hurt me and I had physical bruises on me, he had some friends come over, and instead of wearing jeans where they wouldn't be able to see the bruise, I wore the short. It was like maybe a week after I wore the shorts, and his buddy had said, "Why are you bruised?" And I just looked at him and I said, "Well, why don't you ask your friend?"
Oh boy.
And I don't know how I had the strength to do that. You would have thought I would have been in fear to do that. But that was the start of me saying, you're not going to do this to me again. Cause I had told him that time when he had hurt me, I said, "You touched me, you hurt me one more time, and that's it. I'm leaving you. And I'm letting everybody know what you've done." And he begged me, "Please don't leave. I love you." You know, the same thing that they do all the time. Mm-hmm. So your mind goes into the rescue. You want to be the healer. You want to be the protector. You want to believe in the love. You want to stay in a marriage. You should not be hurt at all, period. And if you're staying in something like that because you're believing in a marriage, then you're believing in a fraud. Because a marriage is not about any physical pain or mental abuse to any one person. That is a fraudulent relationship. And you need to remove yourself from that fraudulent relationship so that you can have the strength to live a life that is great with peace and dignity and respect, and where you can truly love the people around you, not try to fix the people around you. And that's one of the things that I think propelled me into my own self-help, was that you look through life and you're talking to your friends and you're trying to give advice, but at the end of the day, if they don't want to hear it, they're not going to listen to you, right? And so sometimes your opinions, you know, maybe you should keep to yourself unless the person is really ready. My girlfriends call me the dragon lady, because when they ask something, I come out and I spew exactly what possibly they don't want to hear. And so my girlfriends already know to tell me in the beginning, "I just want you to listen to me or give me your advice, because I will say it like it is." But you can't fix anybody. You can't fix the person you're next to. You can't fix your best friends. You can't fix your husbands. You can't fix your children. You have to let people live a life. The only thing you can do is self-teach each other how to be the best person you can be. So I do a lot of self-teaching, a lot of self-coaching. There's this test online. It's called equilibria.com. I really enjoy it. I train on it because I truly believe that people, once you understand yourself, then you can understand how to communicate with the people around you. And then you're able to become a better leader, a better filter for other people's needs and concepts and growth and development, because you're leading with them first, but you're not trying to fix them. You're allowing them to see themselves for who they are and for them to make decisions on who they want to be in the future. That was a lot of circle. I don't know if I made sense in that, but that was a lot of circling.
Oh, well, there was a lot there. And like, I saw this quote the other day that said, "Your relationship should be a safe haven, not a battlefield." And I think that's like a clue for people to look at. If your relationship is a battlefield over a safe haven, maybe that's a red flag letting you know that you're in a toxic relationship. Because I agree with you, Sarah. So many people stay because they have the hope that it will get better. Or, oh, this week was good. And so they begin to justify what happened. It's because they feel they want to fix it, like you said. But what they
Yes. And you believe sometimes, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but sometimes you believe, like, I remember my life was a roller coaster. I had massive highs and horrible lows with him because he was living in that roller coaster. And I rode the roller coaster with him. And you're thinking, well, okay, it's going to get better. And then it gets better. And then it just goes down the roller coaster again. And you're spiraling in and out. And then pretty soon that just becomes a norm. You begin to say, well, it's okay, because I'm going to have some great days. It's okay because, you know, he's going to be a better person. And eventually he won't go down the roller coaster. And that's not true, especially for somebody who's mentally ill with a sickness like bipolarism. Mm-hmm. If they don't take the medication to not be on that roller coaster, then that's the lifestyle you're going to be living for the rest of your life. And that's the lifestyle you're going to be giving to your children. And that's the lifestyle that they're going to believe or understand is okay. And my biggest fear is that my daughter end up in a lifestyle like that, because I am the relationship that I have now with my husband. He is so calm and so steady. And he is like my fortress, my shield. Is such a blessing. And that's what I want my children to have, that calmness. Not the storm, not the roller coaster ride. You can get on those rides and, you know, pay $150 and go to those places, but you get off and you don't have to be going on every single day. But imagine that lifestyle every single day for somebody because they're trying to fix or because they're trying to stay in something. And you just can't do it.
No, you can't. And you're right. And you have to come to that place where your life, your mental health, your safety, your children are important. And gosh, I know for a lot of people listening right now, it's a fearful thing for you to make that change. But hearing Sarah's story and the courage that she was able to find and her ability to give herself the grace to be able to move forward, the ability to see her own true value and worth, to know that there was something better for her, that this was not what a marriage truly was, and that it is okay. It is okay when you are in a situation where you're being hurt, that it's actually okay, and it is a good thing for you to step back and to step aside and to get help and to get freedom and to find someone who will embrace you and love you and listen to you and help you move forward, because there is a life and a purpose for you. And it's not for you to be in pain. It's not for you to be in fear. It's not for you to hurt. It's not for you to be held back from who you are and who you're created to be, because there's so much purpose in your life. And you need to find that person who will value you, love you, and call you higher, because you are so valuable and you are so worthy and you are so needed. Sarah, I thank you so much for sharing your story. And I think it is one of the strongest stories I have heard of a woman in her resiliency, in her faith. And you have broken the generational thing that could have happened in your family because you chose to leave and to make a new life for yourself. And your husband sounds like he is your great reward.
Yes, he is.
He is your great reward. And to have three beautiful daughters that I know that you're raising them up in their value and their worth. And if I just want to close, if there's anything final you want to say to anybody that could be listening right now, I'll let you have the final word.
You know, you mentioned the three daughters that I have. The only thing that I would say to people out there is raise your daughters strong. My parents raised me very strong, and I still ended up in a bad relationship. But because my grounding was strength and conviction in myself, I honestly feel that also catapulted me to become grounded and understand that it was not a good place. So raise your daughters to be strong. Don't teach them that they have to fix or stay in something that is unhealthy. Give them the healthy boundaries and have those discussions of what a healthy relationship is and isn't at a very young age. When they see you in a good relationship, where your husband comes home and you kiss each other, when they see you happy and they see you holding hands and they see you having a discussion, and they come in and they're like, oh, you guys are sound like you're talking a little bit louder. Let them know we're just having a discussion right now. We're not screaming. We're not yelling. We don't agree on something, and we're finding a way to have grace to figure out how to agree. Teach them the healthy benefits of conversation and, dispute resolution, so that they too, when they become to that age and they leave the home and they find themselves out in the world in relationships, that they too can have dispute resolution skill sets and common grounding and lead a life of love. That's the strongest thing that I could say as a parent out there.
That's great advice, because we do want to instill that strength and beauty in our daughters. I totally agree with you. And I'll just close with this quote from Maya Angelou. Stepping onto a brand new path is difficult, but not more difficult than remaining in a situation which is not nurturing to the whole woman.
I love that.
Isn't that beautiful? And gosh, we can apply that to so many areas in our life, but sometimes we're afraid to make that change, but it's better to face the fear and make the change than remain where you're not being nurtured, because the one who is the nurturer also needs to be nurtured. Sarah, thank you so much for coming on the Transition Bridge podcast today. Your story is powerful. And my prayer that as it goes out, it will help millions around the world to find the courage and the strength to believe in themselves, to believe that there is more. And I would love to know, how can our listeners get in touch with you? Because I believe that you are really someone who could help.
Thank you so much, Debbie. Yes, they can find me on LinkedIn under Sarah Segredo Hammond. You can find me on LinkedIn, or you can find our website, www.atlasrgv.com, or Instagram. I am Sarah_AtlasRGV, ATLASRGV.com. You can find me on any of those platforms. I'd be more than happy to connect with any listener. And if you want any other discussions with me, I'd be happy to connect with you and share some more of that. And, you know, hear your side of the story too. There is one quote that I want to leave with that I wrote to my daughter in her high school yearbook, and that I'm going to write to every one of my daughters as they graduate from school. It's by Jane Fonda. And she says, "The challenge is not to be perfect. It is to be whole. So may you find yourselves whole, complete, and loved."
That's the perfect quote. And I will have all of Sarah's information in the show notes. For all of you who are listening, please connect with her. It would probably be one of the most important things you could ever do in your life, is to connect with a woman who's been there, understands, has compassion, and can also help you get to the other side in wholeness and in clarity. I want to thank everyone who has come today, because, you know, we come together as a village to embrace, grow, and be transformed by the purpose and power of our transitions.
Thank you for joining us today on the Transition Bridge podcast. We appreciate you. If you enjoyed listening today, please go ahead and subscribe or review the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to check out the show notes. And for more information about Debbie, go to debbieronca.com. That's debironca.com.